From the KGOU studios, I'm Susek Rolat, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma, and welcome to Worldviews. Joshua Landis joins me to discuss the situation in Yemen after a rebel group fired missiles at a U.S. naval vessel.
A very sophisticated anti-ship missile was launched against our boats, and we've responded. And this could suck the United States into more direct conflict in Yemen.
But first, our contributor Rebecca Cruz talks with Lucio Bianchi. He's an activist and a supporter of Italy's Five-Star Movement.
And so the idea is trying to get them involved again and trying to have more people than real politicians.
All that is coming up right after this hour's news. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlat. So Joshua Landis, the United States has rather controversially been supporting in Yemen a Saudi-backed conflict. And so this week, the rebels in Yemen fired missiles on U.S. destroyers. They failed to hit their targets, but nonetheless, it alerts us to the fact that, you know, our ships are being fired upon in the region. So the U.S. has now responded, and their radar sites have been wiped out, apparently. Now, this is an Iranian-backed group that fired upon us. So now, obviously, we're branching out even further. What is going on in Yemen?
Well, U.S. policy is under scrutiny right now because congressional committees have asked the United States to reevaluate its policy because we've been supplying scatter bombs and other weaponry to the Saudis, which is being used in Yemen to fight the Shiite Houthis, 40% of the population who have been supporting an alternative government in Yemen. And we are talking about not withdrawing from the fight. But here, just as we talk about withdrawing and not supporting the Saudis, a very sophisticated anti-ship missile was launched against our boats. And we've responded. And this could suck the United States into more direct conflict in Yemen. It seems unlikely at this point because President Obama is loath to get involved in any more wars, particularly as he's about to hand off power. But that's the problem that it underlines, is America doesn't know whether they want to get in or get out.
Well, and that goes for other parts in the region too. But the Iranian connection here. I mean, are we to be concerned about this, given the fact that the U.S. and Iran have been, you know, trying to build some bridges, mend some bridges?
Well, the Iranian connection is key because the United States, in many ways, has been helping the Iranians spread their influence in Iraq and also to a degree in Syria by bombing ISIS and siding with the Iranians against Sunni Arab rebels. We are trying to placate our allies in the Gulf, Saudi Arabia, who are very worried about being encircled by Iran and their Shiite proxies. And so we have gone a long way to support them in this war against Shiites in Yemen, even though we don't really like it, because we are maintaining our relationships. This is sort of a yes, dear sort of policy in Yemen. And so we have to very delicately tend our relationship with all the Gulf Arabs who are Sunni, who see Iranian influence in Yemen as surrounding them and potentially dangerous for them.
Well, more spread of U.S. involvement in the region for sure, it seems to me. So thank you, Joshua, as always, for the Middle East update.
Okay. Pleasure.
If you have any thoughts about this discussion, let us know in the Worldview section of our website, kgou.org. You can also follow us on social media. Check us out on KGOU's Facebook page, or you can send us a tweet at WorldviewsKGOU. You can get in touch with me directly at Suzek Rolat. Coming up, Rebecca will talk with Lucio Bianchi. He's the Student Services Coordinator at the University of Oklahoma Center in Arezzo, Italy, and a supporter of Italy's Five-Star Political Movement. We'll be right back. I'm Suzette Gorlot, and this is Worldviews. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlot. Next week, President Obama will host Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi for an official state visit to the White House. 2 years ago, he became the youngest prime minister in the country's history, and many political observers saw his ascension as a sign of change in the country's political system. There's a growing populism in Italy, and that's been evident by the Movimento Cinque Stelle, or Five Star Movement. It's not a political party in the traditional sense, but the group now makes up more than 10% of both houses of parliament. Joining us to talk about the political climate in Italy is Lucio Bianchi. He's the Student Services Coordinator at the University of Oklahoma's Center in Arezzo and closely follows the movement. He spoke with our contributor, Rebecca Caruso.
Lucio Bianchi, welcome to World Views. And you're here in the studio to talk with us about what might be called a political movement or an activist movement in Italy that you've been very involved with for the last almost half decade at this point, or almost a decade. And so we want to learn a little bit about what's known as the Movimento movement, or sometimes it's also called Cinque Stelle or Five Stars. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about where this movement came from. I believe 2011 or thereabouts. Tell us where it came from. And then one thing that I think is so interesting is its founder, Pepe Grillo, is often in some circles referred to as the John Stewart of Italy. He was a comedian, so I don't know if that's a fair comparison or not, but if you could tell us a little bit about him and about this movement.
Yes, well, actually, Beppe Grillo is a real comedian, and he's been for his own life actually on the stages of theaters and on television as well.
And he's got this great curly hair, yeah, is a really
exactly,
interesting looking
exactly.
figure.
Exactly. And so at a certain point, actually, in his show, he started to talk about not just comedy, but also about really interesting topics that affected the politics in Italy. And so he started to have a vision together with another of the co-founder of the Five Stars Movement, which and his name is Gian Roberto Casaleggio, and unfortunately he died just last year. And they actually started to create the Five Stars Movement in the sense of a real movement, so no a political party, so without a sort of statute, without a leadership, but actually trying to involve directly the citizens. So the idea, it was opposed to the what is the concept of ideologies, and more prone to ideas. The main ingredients in the Five Stars Movement are the ideas and the people who actually start to put these ideas in real facts.
So a real democracy, kind of on the ground, talking to the people have a say. I think one of the mottos is one means one counts as one.
Exactly.
And you mentioned that they don't like this term party, although perhaps for our understanding, we do call it a party, but it's an anti-party.
It is an anti-party because, again, there are no leaders and people are just responsible for themselves. The main point behind the Five Stars Movement is trying to get people involved again directly in politics and so in democracy, because the main problem that right now Italy is facing is the disaffection of people for politics. And so the idea is trying to get them involved again and trying to have more people than real politicians, let's say, and this is the main aspect that is in the Five Stars Movement.
So there was and is kind of the sentiment that politicians are corrupt, that political parties are so ingrained that people don't matter anymore, and this was kind of a response to that. You said bringing the people in. So how do you engage your average person in the process of this movement?
Well, I can take my example in the sense that I started to know the Five Stars Movement and what it was when I studied here at OU. So whenever I was out of Italy and I started to see, to watch Italy from another point of view, let's say. And then when I came back, I thought that if it wasn't me that started to do something for myself, for my parents, for my relatives, for the people that I love, nobody else would do that. Because in Italy, unfortunately, we had this high corruption level in politics. And And politicians are usually part of very important lobbies. So this this was the main route that actually led the Five Stars movement to the success, let's say.
And you went back and you became an activist and joined Movimento and actually were on a town council in Arezzo, a community council. How do you go out to the people? How do you reach them?
Actually, we are trying mostly throughout the social medias, in the sense that, unfortunately, another bad aspect in Italy is that with newspapers and television, they are really related to the different parties, political parties present in Italy. And so the only other way that you have to can use to reach people is actually social media. This is also something that... that is not very good, let's say, for Italians, because we have a huge digital divide. And so those people who cannot be reached throughout social media are not really reached. That's why we start also to have like stands and things like that in what we call piazza, so our squares or the markets that we have, and we try to reach as many people as we can talking about what we do. And this is the main important thing, in the sense that we try to put facts prior the talkings.
And you said there's no leaders. I think this is so unique and sounds perhaps a little odd that it's a political movement organization that is leaderless, because the people are the leaders. How does that function? It's now existed for quite some time, half a decade or a little bit longer. How does it work without leaders?
There is an online platform that is called Rousseau, as the philosopher, actually. And it is used in order to create the proposals that then will go to the parliament or the regional councils or the municipality councils. And this is the way in which people are really involved, because they start not just to study something that they perhaps don't know, but perhaps they have skills in this kind of field. And so they start to create proposals that then they will become laws. And so this is a way that actually functions and allow people to be directly involved in this kind of decisional process.
The elected officials for Movimento, then, they vote, as the people have indicated, via this platform.
Correct.
So it really is a true direct democracy, in that those representatives cannot sway. They have to go with what the people have directed them to do.
Correct. We are actually taking advantage of the new society, in the sense that new technologies allow us to understand how the democracy could evolve, let's say. And so using new technologies such as this kind of platform is a great resource in order to recreate a part of the democracy that was lost before.
That's Lucio Bianchi describing Italy's Movimento Cinque Stelle, or Five Star Movement. More of his conversation with our contributor, Rebecca Cruz, right after a short break. I'm Suzette Grelot, and this is Worldviews. You're listening to Worldviews. I'm Suzette Grelot, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Our guest this half hour is Lucio Bianchi, the Student Services Coordinator at OU Center in Arezzo, Italy. He's been describing the country's Movimento Cinque Stelle, or five-star political movement. He's been talking with our contributor, Rebecca Cruz.
And there's a couple of symbols with the organization that I think are worth bringing up. One is, within the word Movimento, there's a very large V. If you maybe could explain what that V represents.
I don't know whether you've ever seen the movie V for Vendetta.
Yes.
Okay. This is actually the main point, in the sense that this movie and the comics as well actually represents a sort of rebellion to a certain kind of establishment powers. And this is the main point of the Five Stars Movement. We want to try to re-put citizenship and democracy on the top level of the political visions.
And it really came to be very popular in, like I said, 2011. So during the Occupy movement around the world, it kind of took off on that momentum and has continued, whereas perhaps some of the momentum from Occupy has actually ended. Mm-hmm. You all have continued. The other symbol is the five stars, the Cinque Stelle. And this is actually the movement's platform. They go from things like free internet to public water. Maybe tell us a little bit about the five stars.
Each star represents a single important thing. So as you mentioned, public water system, connectivity, direct democracy, environment. So we are very keen on environment issues and starting to understand the new processes that actually are affecting throughout the environment of the world. And obviously, another important thing is a digital identity. This means that each person that born in this world should have a free access to the internet, because it's a way to understand the world and also start to enhance your skills, your identity, and create your own personality. And why not to start to study and understand the world around?
So am I wrong in assuming that this has really been attractive to a lot of young people in Italy? Unemployment has been an issue, breaking the social networks, getting into the jobs that might be desirable, that young people are affected by those things at a much higher rate, and so this is very appealing to them.
And in fact, those people that now have been elected through the Five Stars movement in the parliament, they have the average age, the lowest average ever in the Italian parliament, and the highest degree, in the sense that those people are really educated compared to the other people present in the other political parties.
Really educated, and the idea being that they are not going to be lifelong politicians, that they are
exactly
doing this and then will go on to do other things. Now, you mentioned elections, and I should say that in 2013, the Five Star Movement had a fantastic year, really kind of shocked Italy in some ways, shocked the world. I think it was somewhere in the 25% range in the national elections, which is quite incredible. That has waned a little bit, but you've had some really recent successes, the mayor of Rome, as well as the mayor in Turin. So what can we count to their success? And then what challenges are they facing in terms of moving forward and actually governing in these important cities?
So actually, in Turin, everything is going fast and is going good. So very, very fortunately, up there, let's say that the mayor is working without any strong problems. Whereas in Rome, since it is the capital and we faced this huge crime power that was affecting the municipality of Rome and ended up in an actually what is called Mafia Capitale. And so this huge network of corruptions made the Five Stars Movement winning the elections in Rome, especially because honesty, for example, is one of our passwords for everything. And so nowadays, the new mayor, Virginia Raggi, is actually facing new problems because, again, we are challenging the power. And so this means that whenever every single little things happens, it becomes a huge mountain on the local media, on the national media as well, and she receives attacks from all around. Nonetheless, they are working really great. For example, in this last month of August, Roma was facing a major problem with waste disposal that was resolved in just 1 month, and so really they are doing great. But in any case, it's a very difficult situation because, again, challenging the high powers, let's say, is always a difficult path.
Absolutely. You're always going to have big challenges there, but winning the mayoral election, a huge deal. And nationally, you know, there's the challenge, obviously, of the coalition government. The way that the Italian political system is set up, it seems to favor coalitions, yet Movimento doesn't form coalitions. So what is the path to gaining more support in the national elections and getting more voice in Parliament?
This is another fundamental aspect of the Five Stars Movement, no coalitions. And this has always been either at the national level and the smallest level of a town or even a city. And this is a problem for the parties because they usually have coalitions in between right-hand parties or left-hand parties. Now we have our prime minister, which actually is actually leading a coalition in between left and right parties in order to create this government that is kind of not very stable. Let's
governments
say.
Fall a lot in Italy, yes.
Exactly. And but again, it's important for us not to have coalitions because we are not a party. The sense of that is that, I mean, movements can actually have coalitions just with citizens, so with communities, with associations, with members that are part of the community, and this is it. I mean, it's important also in order to create a proper identity that is clearly recognizable.
So what's next? What's next for the movement?
Probably the elections on 2018, okay. And we're starting to understand about how to again recreate in a way a sort of electoral campaign, because another important aspect is that we do not receive any money from politics, in the sense that all the other parties in Italy receive money, public money, actually to for their campaigns and stuff. Whereas the Five Stars Movement just have donations from the people who believe in the Five Stars Movement. And so the campaigns are usually very expensive, but consider that the Five Stars Movement usually spend one-fifth of what is usually spent from the other political parties. And Rome, obviously, is a really important starting point, because if the Five Stars Movement do well in Rome, it would probably win next elections.
Well, this is just an incredible organization that we've been watching now for a while, and we'll definitely be looking to 2018. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Rebecca Cruz's conversation with Lucio Bianchi about Italy's five-star political movement. We have more information on our website, kgou.org. Worldviews is a collaboration between the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies and KGOU. Katie Holland researches our interviews, Audra Brules prepares our digital content, and Sam Dupre and Brian Hardzinski produce the show. For Rebecca Cruz and Joshua Landis, I'm Suzette Corlott.